Hello, matey. Hey.
Before we start, I've got to close that window because there's a dog outside that's going to woof for woof.
It's going to go a woof for woof.
Woof, woof, woof. And it annoy me eventually, so just bear with me. There we go. Started woofing my cat's out. There we go.
Well, I'm going to edit it, Glenn. So at the beginning of the intro, you're going to hear some barking, and then you're going to say what you've said. And then you're gonna sort of like hear like you with a machine gun shooting it.
Oh, they're dying.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the UK's number one retro gaming podcast, The Retro Asylum. This is episode 18. I'm your host, Andy Godoy, and joining me, as always, the one, the only, Fluffy Lover,
Glenn 83100!
How are you, matey? You're right?
I'm fine, Andy. How's things with you?
How's the Fluffies?
Oh, the Fluffies are fine. They're all in nice in the trapdoor and crick snacks.
Right, so before we carry on with the show and tell you what we've got planned, let me quickly tell you one thing, Glenn. So, what did you think of last week's podcast, then?
I really enjoyed it.
Okay,
really
yeah.
It was the... what I really like about it is how the Dizzy site was founded and how he spoke to the Oliver twins and how he got everything all together.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's an absolutely fantastic website. Again, definitely recommend everyone to check it out. But Andrew Joseph did say one thing, Glenn. Which version of Quicksnacks did he say was better?
He said the Commodore 64 one. Oh, I think my nose has just grown.
Yeah, it just seems like you're the only person on the planet that likes the C64 version of Quicksnacks.
It was not a bad game. I don't know what people are going on about.
It's not a good game. So what I wanted, I want... Any of our thousands and thousands of listeners are listening to this. If anyone else actually prefers the C64 version, please let us know at retroasylum.com. Send us a message or put a post up on the forum. Right, so let's quickly tell you what we've got planned then, Glenn. We've got some what we've been up to, what we've been playing. We've got some site news and announcements. We've got the Glenn versus Andy Music Challenge, which is the best Game Boy music. And then we've got our top five Game Boy games. And then, yeah, that's pretty much it. So, Glenn, let's start off with that first question I'll always ask you. What have you been up to?
What I've been up to? Well, I've been playing some arcade games on my emulator. I've been playing a game called, it's called Hard Driving, but sometimes it's called something else as well. It's a game that was made by Atari, and... it was supposed to be like a driving school game, but they changed it and made it a racing game. And it's, I actually like the game, although the graphics do look really outdated, though. So, but it's a really good game.
And what format have you been playing it on?
Oh, I've been playing it on the main.
Right, okay, that's fantastic. Hard Driving was a great game. I think Swaney mentioned it previously, just like you said. It was meant to be a driving game. And I used to play this, Glenn, in the arcades. It just had this ultra realism. I actually felt like I was driving a car. But since I don't drive, Glenn, how close is it to driving?
To be honest with you, I think it's realistic can probably get in some ways. Mm. Obviously, you have to actually sit down with the steering wheel with the gear stick itself. So you need the actual arcade cabinet to be realistic as it can.
Yeah.
But there's some other driving games out there now that driving simulators that are closer to actual driving.
All right then, matey. Well, what I did ask you, though, was what have you been up to instead of playing games? What have you been doing?
What I've been doing? Well, I've sold my Xbox Kinect.
Have you?
Yes.
Why? Much broken furniture?
Not too much broken furniture, because I just have not got the room for it anymore.
Oh, okay.
I've got a great big bed in my room now, and I can't move it out of the way to pay this Xbox Kinect. As people are still paying about £80 for them, I think I might as well sell it now before it goes down to 10 pence.
Yeah.
Because if you look on, like, eBay now, look how much Game Boys are and Game Boy Advances are.
Yeah.
They're giving them away. They're giving away for, like, £5, £10.
I know, that really, really, really cheap. I'm not a big fan of the Kinect, Glenn. It's just, it's very, very gimmicky. You know, it's just, it's horrible. So, have you not been away to your caravan, been away with your girlfriend or anything?
Well, I'm going away to the caravan next week. I'm going there for a whole week.
Wow. So, what is it you've got planned in at this caravan?
I'm planning on going to Bridlington Beach, going to some arcades, going to some 2P machines, probably have a game of Outrun or Daytona. I'll play that air hockey. You know that disc?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You put a disc on the ground and you hit the disc and you're trying to get 7 points. I always like that game.
So who wins, you or Jackie?
Oh, I think it's pretty even these days, but most of the time, I win.
You win. I'm sure she lets you win, Glenn. She lets you win.
She doesn't like losing. She certainly doesn't like losing, Andy.
All right, let me quickly tell you a little bit about what I've been up to, Glenn, then I'll tell you a little bit about what I've been playing. First of all, Glenn, I'm still doing the DIY in the house.
Oh, Andy.
Yep.
It sounds like you're actually building the house.
Oh, gosh, I might as well have just done that.
Bricks and mortar.
No, I mean, so far, honestly, I've done pretty much everything. I've done the flooring. I've done the turf outside in the garden. And now all I'm doing now is painting. I've painted the hallway, the kitchen, the living room. And actually, at this moment in time, I'm meant to be painting the bathroom and the spare bedroom. My wife doesn't know I'm recording this podcast, so I could be in trouble if she arrives home.
just don't let her know.
I won't let her know. As long as you don't say anything, Glenn, I won't.
I won't say anything. I'm way up in Leeds and you're all the way down in London. I don't know if she could hear me or I shout out the window.
Right. Now, the next thing, I'll tell you what I've been playing. I've actually been playing a few games on the commute to work because, like I said, Glenn, it takes me about an hour and a bit to get to work. So what I've been playing a Manic Miner on the ZX Spectrum.
God, that was a hard game.
You know what, Glenn? It is a hard game, but what I've realised is it's the first level is the hardest level out of all of them. Once you've passed that first level, the other levels are pretty easy. I must have got to about the 8th or 9th level, and then, like, my PSP died. You know, it ran out of battery power, and I was like, no! I was on a roll.
Well, tell Boris Johnson to install some plugs or chargers down in the underground.
Oh, no, but this isn't on the underground, because don't forget, I live outside of London, so it's me travelling from outside of London to London, basically. And the other game I've been playing, Glenn, is Pang. Have you ever played Pang before?
Oh, I might got it completely wrong, but is it a game where you have these bubbles and you shoot, indeed, like, things up and you burst and they get smaller and smaller?
Yep, that's the game I've been playing. Now, I love this game, Glenn. It is superb on the ZX Spectrum. I don't think there is a version on the Amstrad 464, but there is. Is there? I thought that was only the cartridge base that was on the Amstrad.
I think there is one on the Commodore 64.
But not on the Amstrad 464.
I've not played the Amstrad. The Amiga one was brilliant. Have you played the Amiga version?
No.
That was brilliant.
But let me quickly tell you about the Spectrum version, Glenn. The Spectrum version is like nearly arcade perfect. Graphics are amazing. You know, the only thing it hasn't got is colour. So it's got a lot of colour clash. And as good as it plays, I've noticed a few little bugs. Sometimes, I don't know, maybe it's the size of the characters, but if a bubble's not even too close to you, you'll still die. And I'm like, hold up a second, that bubble didn't touch me. But it has got advantages over the Super Nintendo version, which only had one player, because the Spectrum version's got two players.
Oh, very good.
So what was the Amiga version like then, Glenn?
Do you know, the Amiga version was really colourful, it played well, it had brilliant music, and I going from memory here, I really, really enjoyed the game. It was absolutely fantastic. I remember playing the Commodore 64 one, but it seemed a bit blockier to me compared to the Amiga version. That's expected because the Amiga 16-bit.
Yeah, but I think it's this sort of game, Glenn, that works well on any machine because it's simple, it's not graphically fantastic, and it works. It's like Snow Brothers, it's like Bubble. It's just the simplicity of it all which really makes this game work.
Oh, it certainly does. It is a brilliant game.
Hello everybody, this is Damien, and you're listening to Retro Asylum, the best retro gaming podcast.
Let let's move into our news section. Glenn, why don't you tell us a little bit about the site news? What have you got for us then?
Well, there's going to be a retro gaming base that's going to open up in London, and it's going to be a retro gaming shop. God, those are rare these days, isn't it? A place that actually has retro games in.
Now, this is a little bit far for you, Glenn, but it's actually not too bad for me, because from time to time, I actually stay in London because it's easier for me to commute sometimes. And this is basically in Streatham in London, which is South London. And I tell you what, I'm really looking forward to this. Let me bring up the page and I'll tell everyone what this website says. So it's called Retro Game Base London Shop. It says, we are very happy to say that we've opened a physical shop in Streatham, London. We have a huge amount of retro games, items for sale, software, hardware, peripherals, merchandise, a new import, 8 and 16-bit hardware. In addition to the shop, there's an arcade machine and consoles to play and space to hang out and grab a drink. And the address for any people that are living in London, it's 430 Streatham High Road, London, SW16 3PX. Now, the shop's opened Tuesdays to Saturdays from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Oh, very good. They could open one up in Leeds in the future, then I could go and have a reminisce and look around and probably buy some Super Nintendo games.
Yeah, so let me quickly ask you something then, Glenn. Do you think something like this would work? I mean, do you think the shop will be successful? Because you can buy games from the internet, so why would this shop work?
I think it depends how much they sell it for.
Mm.
If they sell it for a reasonable price and don't rip people off,
yeah,
it could work.
Mm-hmm.
But like when you go to markets or places like that, you know, sometimes they're selling these Super Nintendo games and they say to me, oh, it's ultra rare, this game. This game's really rare. I go, no, it isn't. There's loads of them sold. And goes, well, you know, I don't know, £10. I think, God, you can get that £4 off eBay.
Yeah.
So it depends how much they sell the things for.
I think it depends on the shop as well and the shop owners. I haven't had the chance to go to this yet, Glenn, and I probably will do over the next few days because I'll be staying at my mum's house over the next few days in London. So I might check out the shop and I guarantee you I'll take loads of pictures. And at some point, I'm hoping to grab an interview with the guys that own the shop. But for me, Glenn, I think you're right. It does depend on the price. If it's overly priced, it might not be worth it. But if the games are sold at a decent price and the shop owners are nice and it is a good place to go, then maybe that might, you know, might be successful. Because I'll tell you what else they have there, Glenn. They've also got Point Blank, the arcade. They've got Street Fighter 2 machine there. Crazy Kong, which is like Donkey Kong. And they've got a Neo Geo 6 slot and a computer, and a little multi-game cab with different games.
They also got an eBay page. I'm just looking through them now.
Right, okay, so let's have a little look then, Glenn, and find out what sort of stuff and what sort of prices are they selling things for?
Some stuff is like £61, but I found an item that's 99p.
Which item's 99p?
I think it's a Sega Saturn game. I passed it.
Well, that's not bad then. But I'll tell you what then, all in all, guys, definitely check out retrogamebase.co.uk, and that's the website for this shop. They've also got an eBay shop, like Glenn's rightly mentioned. I will check this out, but I'm looking forward to this, Glenn. I mean, like you said, you would want one of these in your local area, wouldn't you?
Yeah, if they basically a good shop and they sell the things I want for the price I want, then I'll go in regularly and see what they have.
There's just something different, Glenn,
yeah.
Going into a shop rather than just looking online, because it's nice being able to pick up something or just see it there, you know, an eye distance rather than just seeing it on your computer screen. So that's definitely one to check out, Glenn.
It's like the retro gaming show when they had all these games and consoles on display. It's nice to actually play on them rather than just looking at them on YouTube. Know what you mean?
All right then, mate. So let's move on to the next section. I've got some announcements. Now, Glenn, you might remember the movie Asylum. The movie Asylum was a podcast that I did a few years ago with my friend Phil. Do you remember that at all?
Oh, yeah. I remember Phil and you talking about films.
Right. So, yeah, a few years ago, me and Phil, we started a podcast called the 1 Hour Monthly Podcast Show. Eventually, that morphed into 1HMPS Retro. Then me and Phil started the Movie Asylum. We got up to about episode 5, I think. And then, I don't know what happened, we just stopped making them. But the Movie Asylum is coming back, Glenn, and it's going to be better than ever.
Also, what kind of things you'd be talking about, Andy?
Well, rather than doing contemporary movies, Glenn, I think we're going to talk about movies from the late 70s, 80s and 90s. So we'll review movies like Back to the Future, Ghostbusters.
Great films.
Yeah, definitely. So, right. So, yeah, basically, guys, the Movie Asylum is coming out next month. And the first topic we're going to talk about is Back to the Future. So if you love Back to the Future, Michael J. Fox and Christopher Lloyd and all that, basically, you'll certainly enjoy the Movie Asylum.
One of my greatest films ever. I love Back to the Future.
And you said Jackie doesn't like it.
Oh, she didn't like it. She says, I don't know what's going on. And I think, well, she says it's a bit far-fetched, a car that goes back to the future. So that's the whole point of it.
Exactly. It's sci-fi.
Yeah.
Anyway, the next thing I want to quickly tell everyone is, Glenn, the 8-bit wars are coming back.
Oh, I've been hearing about this.
Yeah, now basically, we had really great success with the 8-Bit Wars. We had so many listeners that listened to that episode of the 8-Bit Wars that we did on the podcast. So that got me thinking, Glenn, maybe I could do a whole new and improved 8-Bit Wars, something that someone hasn't done before. Because you get so many 8-Bit Wars out there now, which I don't mind. You know, I know Malk does them, Scoopy does them, and a few other people do them. But then you've also got the fake 8-Bit Wars that people try and copy what I've done. And I'm not really a fan of those ones. But the new 8-Bit Wars, Glenn, don't know if I've told you, it's going to be even better than the old one. And it's going to be good stuff, Glenn. So again, that will be from the end of next month as well.
See, that's how I first got to know you, Andy, through the 8-Bit Wars. Because I was looking through YouTube.
Yeah.
And there was this 8-Bit Wars. What's the difference between the Amstrad, Commodore 64, and Spectrum version? I thought, that's interesting. There's nothing like that anywhere else on YouTube at the time. And that's how I got to know you, Andy.
And I tell you what, and I'm glad that, you know, you did check out my channel. Because now we're podcasting together.
Yeah,
sounds good.
We certainly are.
So yeah, the new 8-Bit Wars, trust me guys, it's going to be better than ever. Swaney's done a little trailer for it, or the intro ad, which is pretty good. And I'm sure you'll enjoy the show. Right, so the next announcement, Glenn, that I've got as well. From episode 21 and a half, for 5 episodes, what I'm going to do to mix up the show a little bit different is all the half shows from episode 21 and a half to 25 and a half will be the Summer of Retro Community, or whatever I've called it, which is basically where our community come on the show, I talk to them, and we find out how they got into gaming, what was the first game they played, their favorite, you know, like console, the top 5 favorite games, and we get to sort of find out from you guys all your retro gaming chit-chat and stuff. So what do you think of that then, Glenn?
I think that's a good idea, Andy.
Yeah, I think it's a nice way of involving the community. They've been really supportive of us, and they've listened to us, so I think it's time for us to listen to them and find out, you know, a little bit of information about our community. And, yep, I think that's all rounded that section up.
This is Matt Denaris. When the modern world is taking its toll on me, I tune into the Retro Asylum podcast.
Right, so now it's time, Glenn, for the next section, which is the Glenn versus Andy Music Challenge.
Oh, right, who's going first?
Right, before we go further, Glenn, let's tell people what system we're going to select our tune from, though, from what?
It's one of the most classical and one of the most rememberable handhelds ever, the original Nintendo Game Boy.
Right, okay. So, Glenn, you haven't told me what your tune that you're selecting. I haven't told you what I'm selecting. You said earlier on you think I might choose the same tune as you. So I'll tell you what. Who shall go first?
Shall I go first?
Go on, then. I won't tell you if it's the same tune I've selected until I mention mine.
The RoboCop theme tune on the Game Boy.
Right, okay. Now, tell us why you've chosen RoboCop on the Game Boy as a tune.
You know, I listened to it on the, you know, a few months ago on this podcast, and I tell you, it's a brilliant tune on the Game Boy, and they actually used it on an advert, if I believed.
Yeah,
as
it
well.
Was on for the Ariston advert.
Yeah,
the washing machine, I think, and it went on and on. And it was really haunting. But they used the Game Boy version, didn't they, on that?
It was. I actually loved that tune. It was brilliant. It really, the Game Boy to me, it music wasn't his forte with me. But what they did with that tune, they really took the Game Boy and took the very most out of it.
Okay,
music ability.
It's a great little tune, and I think. The programmer, didn't he not get any royalties for it to be played on the advert? He didn't get a single penny for that.
I don't know who said that, but somebody said they didn't get any money for it, and he was gutted.
Yeah, and it's a real, real shame, because he should have got a fortune for that, because this tune is just so memorable. So guys, sit back and enjoy a RoboCop on the Game Boy music. Enjoy. So hopefully you guys enjoyed that. Now it's my turn to choose my tune. Right, Glenn. So let me just tell you straight away, it's not RoboCop on the Game Boy.
What is it?
You could have sworn that I was going to pick the same one.
You were going to pick that.
No, I wasn't. I wasn't at all. I'm going to go for the music from Batman on the Game Boy. It's an amazing track. I don't know the name of the track, but as soon as you hear it, you'll be like, wow, it's really amazing. So, and I think, I don't know, it was a great little game, Glenn. It was played like Super Mario. Sorry. But the music is what really elevated this game to another level. So guys, listen to this music, and then please let us know which tune do you prefer, my tune or Glenn's tune. Enjoy. We'll be right back.
And the next topic is the Nintendo Game Boy.
Right, Glenn. Now, the Game Boy is one of the best handhelds ever. It's personally my favourite handheld ever.
It goes to prove that even if you have a handheld that's a lot more powerful and has a lot more capabilities than the Game Boy and still loses against the Game Boy, it goes to prove how the correct games and how the third-party support can really make a system so good.
All right, so Glenn, maybe you can tell us a little bit. When did this reach our shores? When did this arrive in the UK?
It arrived in the UK about 1990, but it arrived in Japan, the US in 89.
Right, okay. Now, I got this, Glenn, when it first came out, and it was the first time I'd actually ever had a proper handheld console, because before that, Glenn, we had these little Game & Watches where you could play games, but they were just...
Just one game.
Games. Exactly. And this took it to a whole new other level. I mean, it fitted in your hands. It's not so much now. When you play it now, you think, oh, it's pretty chunky. But back in the day, I was wowed by it. And it came with Tetris and a link cable as well, if I'm correct.
You see, it came with the correct game as well, like Tetris. You know, very simple game. But It was really playable. Like, my mum, she doesn't play a lot of games. But she used to sit down for hours and play Tetris. And I think she got so many points, she got a rocket. Right, you know, if you get so many points, you get a rocket that takes off.
Yeah, so you've got two different modes. You've got mode A and mode B to play. The first one, it's a different mode. And the second one, is you've got to try just do really well. And if you do really well, I heard the myth that you do get a rocket, but I never got that, Glenn.
She got
ever.
It. My mum got it.
Oh,
all at once.
Tell her to post a video on YouTube.
If I could go back in time and get my video camera.
that's why you need the DeLorean, Glenn.
I need the DeLorean.
Yeah.
To go back and say, Mum, can I just do this for the future? Thank you.
So, Glenn, why did you like the Game Boy so much? What was its appeal to you?
I think what was the biggest appeal of the Game Boy to me, it's that if you're going out for the day on a long car journey to a boring place, like you don't want to sit for hours in the back seat of your mum dad's car on the motorway, what you could do, you could pick up your Game Boy, switch it on, in your hands, you could play some really exciting games like Mario Land and Tetris. And that's its appeal. It's a portable device. Now, for today's kids, you think, what's the big deal? We've got iPhones, we've got mobile phones, It wasn't a common thing in the early 90s to have mobile devices.
Yeah, it was completely just like a work of genius, basically. And the name as well, Game Boy, it looked good, it looked nice, the graphics were simple. And that's one of the things I want to talk about, Glenn, because there were other handhelds that came out roughly around the same time, which had better graphics and had better sounds, but didn't succeed. So let's find out then, why do you think... Let's find out who these competitors were then, Glenn, if you tell us.
Atari brought out the Atari Lynx, and that came out... that actually came out about 1989-1990 time. So it came out around about the same time as the Game Boy.
It was a pretty big machine, that was, Glenn, though, because we saw one at Replay Expo. It was the chunky one, and it was pretty large. It's like as long as a laptop, I guess.
It was a large machine, and especially the first model. I think the one I played at Expo was the first model. They did bring out a Lynx 2, and it was a lot smaller, and it was a lot better. Now, they were very nice handhelds, but the problem was they were quite expensive to buy, and I think the battery life was only like, about 3 to 5 hours.
It's probably about three hours, really.
Not very long.
No, and the other competitor was the Sega Game Gear, which again looked amazing. It was a beautiful looking handheld, and the graphics were like Master System quality, but on a smaller screen. And the sound was phenomenal, but again, because of the full screen color.
And the backlight,
the batteries.
Just drained.
It drained. And now let's compare the Game Boy. The Game Boy, what was it? It was like a dot matrix, yellow sort of screen.
It was like a green screen with just very basic black and white graphics. It didn't have a backlight.
No, so it was difficult to play in certain angles when you're out and about.
Yeah, it was, but I don't think it was hard to play as Game Boy Advance 1. I think the Game Boy Advance one was not as easy to play for some reason. Somehow the Game Boy got away with it.
All right then, Glenn. So tell us then, why, apart from the, what's it called, the battery life, why do you think that the Game Boy succeeded and kicked the ass, basically, of these other two competitors?
Price. Because if I remember, the Game Boy, the original Game Boy came out a lot cheaper than the Atari Lynx and Game Gear. I can't remember the price now, but it was a lot less than the competitors. Mm-hmm. And the biggest and main thing, you can't have a game console without the third-party support. And the Game Boy just had the third-party support.
That was it, Glenn. Completely, you hit the nail on the head right there. There was just so many different companies producing games for it, whereas Sega, it was just a lot of arcade conversions or Master System ports. On the Game Boy, it was different because you had different companies releasing different type of games for it.
And Atari Lynx, they only had some like 100 games released for it. It was a shame because the Atari Lynx, despite its battery life and how big it was and how expensive it was actually a pretty good handheld.
Yeah, the surefire thing that really made it succeed was the quality of games that did come out for it. Like you said, Tetris, what a game. You get your Game Boy, you get a free game with it, and what a game it was. And then you had a few other games on release, like Super Mario Land, which was phenomenal.
Oh, Super Mario Land, the Mario Land was absolutely fantastic.
All right then, so we've talked a little bit about the machine then, Glenn. Let's talk about your five favorite games. You'll do one of your favorite games, and then I'll do one of my favorite games, and we'll talk about it, and we'll see how our list compares them. So tell us your number five then, Glenn.
Battletoads in, I think it's Ronic World.
Right, okay, so tell us, why did you like this game so much then, Glenn?
I think what I liked about this game so much, you like these toads, and you have to defeat this, like, witch. She looks like a witch, an evil witch.
Yeah.
And you have to go through these different levels and defeat these pigs. And I liked how when you fight the pigs, you absolutely batter them to the ground. You know, you just love the action, what these toads do.
Yeah.
And each level is different. Like, when you get to, like, the second level, if they're like going down like a rope and these crows come out from nests and you're going to hit these crows.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get to the next level, and that's the level where I could not get past, you get these barriers that suddenly come up and you're in these go-karts and you hit these barriers. So it's a good game for the Game Boy. Not the best game I played on the Game Boy, but I really enjoyed it. But it's a shame it's really hard and I didn't get far in it.
All right, let me quickly tell you my number five then game, Glenn. It's slightly different to yours. I've already mentioned it before. It's Batman on the Game Boy. Now, one of the things that stood out to me was that I love Super Mario Land, and this game looked and felt like it. The graphics were very, very similar. The sprites were very, very little, and you controlled Batman. And as Batman, you could jump around, you could shoot your bat sort of arrows or whatever they're called at the baddies, and it was just a simple but addictive platforming shoot 'em up game. It's just so damn addictive. Great little game. Did you ever play that game, Glenn?
Unfortunately, I never played that game. I played the Atari Lynx game.
Right, no. It's completely different, this game, Glenn. I'll definitely give it a go. If you can find an emulation, give it a go and let us know what you think about it then. So why don't you tell us what your number fourth game was then, Glenn?
Oh, my number four, you might be surprised about this one, Tetris.
Ah, okay. So why Tetris at number four then? Wow, I'm really shocked.
Really shocked. Well, we all know about Tetris. You have these blocks that come down. You've got to create a line and basically make points. But what I like about this game, it's very basic, but it's very addictive. And I love the music that in the background. It was a great game to come with the Game Boy. Everybody had a Game Boy. Had Tetris.
Yeah.
It's one of the games you've got to have for it.
And you know what, Glenn? You're going to be really surprised, but guess what my number fourth was?
Tetris.
Yeah. Now, as much as I like this game, Glenn, as amazing it was, it's just a little bit too simple. For me, it's one of those games that I could just pick up and play for maybe half an hour, but I wanted more from games. I wanted games that I could play for hours until my battery ran out. And Tetris, unfortunately, wasn't one of those. It's a great game, Glenn. And like you said, the music just really adds a lot of atmosphere to it. But for me, I think it's a great game, but it's rightfully at number fourth. So why don't you tell us what your number three game was then, Glenn?
Mario Land.
Ah, Super Mario Land. I thought that was going to be higher for you then, Glenn. Tell us why that's not any higher.
Because the two games that are above it, and I'll explain later, I like them better than Super Mario Land.
Right, okay.
But that was a great game on the Game Boy. It's like they brought Mario from the NES onto the Game Boy, so now you could play Mario on the move. And it was a really good game, really enjoyed it. But I heard that if you lose all your lives, that's it. You have to start all over again. There were no save points.
All right then, Glenn. That is in my list. I'm not going to talk about it now too much. I'll talk about it when it reaches my list. My number three game, Glenn, is Pokemon.
Pokemon?
Yeah, I loved this game, Glenn. I absolutely loved it. Now, have you ever played Pokemon?
Well, the reason why I never played Pokemon, because if you would have played Pokemon, you would have been made fun of being a big kid. Because by the time when Pokemon became popular, I was like in year 11. And if you liked Pokemon, they go, God, he's a bit slow, isn't he? He likes Pokemon. That's for kids. That's for year 7s.
I don't know what they would have thought of me, because I think I was about, 19? And I was playing this when I had a job as a security guard.
You must have hidden it from everybody, thinking, God, and you don't think I'm 11, you old.
No, I'll tell you what, Glenn, this game is just phenomenal. It's just fantastic. It's a very simple game. It's like a trading card game where basically you play this little character who basically has Pokemon, and you make them fight against each other, and every Pokemon's got the weakness. Originally, you had a few different classes. You could start off with the grass Pokemon, the water Pokemon, and fire Pokemon. I always chose the fire Pokemon, and it was just nice just wandering along, and you'd encounter like different Pokemon you could fight. If you beat them, you could capture them, then you could sort of heal them and then use them to fight against other Pokemon. And it was just, Glenn, I got hours and hours and hours of gameplay from this game, Glenn.
I bet you secretly watched the cartoon.
Oh, I know, Glenn, I admit it. I used to watch the cartoon. But the cartoon is nowhere near as addictive as this game. Now, I haven't played Pokemon since then because I hadn't ever finished the game. I think the game itself, Glenn, could actually only have one save slot. And one of my friends, basically, said to me, it's like, oh, this looks good. Can I start a new game? And I said, you can start a new game, but whatever you do, don't save it because it'll wipe out my save slot.
And saved it.
Yeah, after about 2 hours, he was like, Andy, and I'm like, what? And he's like, I saved it. And I was like, why? I was furious. And since then, I haven't played Pokemon because I couldn't go through all that again because I was leveling up my Pokemon. I had hundreds of Pokemons, different levels, different strengths, different kinds. I had named them all. Oh, gosh. Anyway... What's your number two then, Glenn?
My number two is Kirby's Dream Land.
Oh, okay.
I remember playing this game. It's one of the few games I completed on the Game Boy, and I really enjoyed it. You're this like pink blob that comes along, sucks up enemies, and spits them out. And I found it really addictive. It was a really good game. It was a bit easy, but it was a good game. I really enjoyed it.
Now, a lot of people are going to go, oh, no, Andy, how can you say this? But I'm not a big fan of Kirby. I found it too basic. I mean, I don't know. Maybe try and sell it to me, Glenn. Why was this game that good?
I think it was because it was very addictive gameplay. I just love sucking up those enemies, and the enemies come along and think, right, take that, poof, and you hit the enemies, and like, yeah. it was that addictive feeling to it. That's probably why I liked Kirby's Dream Land.
Right, okay. Now, I might have to give that another go, Glenn. I'm not too familiar with it. I've tried playing it on the NES and on the Game Boy, and I just couldn't get into it. But hey, you know, it's your number two game. My number two game, Glenn, is, you've already mentioned it, it's Super Mario Land.
What a great game.
And I'll tell you why I like this game, Glenn. It's Mario on a smaller scale on the Game Boy. The graphics are nice and simple. You can see everything on the screen. And I actually prefer it more than the sequels that came out on the Game Boy. Have you played the sequels of Super Mario Land?
I played the Game Boy Color version, and I think I still got that for my Game Boy Advance. And it's still a pretty good game. I liked it.
No, see, Super Mario Land, the first one, was just superb, Glenn. It just... It had that catchy music for a start. Can you remember how the music goes?
Yep, exactly. Exactly, I know how it goes. Like, I remember the game.
Exactly. I think if anyone that's played Super Mario Land, they'll remember exactly what that tune sounds like, because it's so memorable. But it's not a difficult game, Glenn. You can finish that within about an hour and a bit. And it's just got that replayability factor. You can always go back to it. I mean, I play it sometimes when I'm on the way to work. I think, you know what? I've got an hour to kill. What shall I do?
Mario.
I know I can play this game. Exactly. And I play it and finish it.
I heard that you can't save. I can't remember if you can or cannot.
No, you can't
save. No, you can't save.
It's all in one go. All in one go, Glenn. Right, so why don't you tell us about your number one Game Boy game then, Glenn, and why do you like it?
You might have this because it was absolutely phenomenal on the Game Boy. I've never seen anything like this. You've seen it on the Super Nintendo, but you never thought they could do it on a Game Boy. Donkey Kong Land.
Ah, okay.
That was... I remember buying that when I was in Spain in 1995 when it was first released.
Yeah.
And when you played the game, it played almost like the Super Nintendo version. It played absolutely fantastic. It was Donkey Kong Country, but on a Game Boy. And the graphics and the sprites looked beautifully drawn, well animated. They got the music brilliant for the Game Boy, for the limitations the Game Boy has. Mm-hmm. And it has all different kinds of nice levels. And you could play as Diddy Kong, you could play as Donkey Kong. And it played absolutely fantastic. I could not fault that game. It was the best game on the Game Boy by far.
You know what, Glenn? I've never, ever, actually ever played that. I might try and get that from my Game Boy at some point, because I've got the original Game Boy. I might give that game a go, Glenn. I've always wanted to play it. I think the graphic surprisingly looked very, very well. Isn't it hard to see things on screen because the graphics are a bit too big, or does it sort itself out?
When I played it, it looked fine.
Right, okay.
But that's going back in memory, Andy.
Right. Might be different but nowadays.
If you have a Super Game Boy for the SNES, you could plug it in and it sorts out the colour for you.
Oh, wow, okay.
If you've got a Super Game Boy. Because I remember I had a Super Game Boy as well. And it's compatible with that. It was brilliant.
All right then, matey. Let me quickly tell you what my number one is, Glenn. My number one is Zelda Link's Awakening.
Oh, you and your Zelda games.
Glenn, I love Zelda. I'm not a big fan of RPGs, but Zelda is just, it's not overly complicated. It's really, really simple. It's not like your Final Fantasy games where they're completely boring. Zelda's got a nice little story. It's so easy to get into. And once you sort of get into it, the only way I can describe it is, Glenn, think about it. You're exploring a little land. You fight one boss. You unlock a weapon from this boss, and from this you feel more powered up, and then you can sort of reach areas that you couldn't reach before. You can beat bosses, characters that you couldn't beat before, and slowly and surely you start leveling up, and then the next thing you know, like, you're so sucked in by this amazing adventure. And I'll tell you what, I'm so surprised again how they managed to get like a Super Nintendo type game and put it on the Game Boy, because this really feels like a link to the past in the Super Nintendo, but on a smaller scale. But this game is pretty huge. It's just amazing how they managed to squeeze it in, Glenn.
It comes to show, like, games like Donkey Kong Country and Zelda, that they really pushed the Game Boy to the limit. It's a shame they never did it with the Atari Lynx, because I think if they pushed the Atari Lynx to the limit, you could never know what could have been possible on it.
Yeah, it's a shame, because I think it had a lot of potential. But unfortunately, like you said, it didn't have the support like the Game Boy did, you know? So let me ask you a quick question, Glenn, before we round this section up. Have you got a Game Boy at all?
I had one years ago when they first came out, and I got a funny story to tell you about that.
Yeah,
when we were getting a Game Boy for Christmas, and we went into Curry's at my local shopping centre.
Yeah.
And they said, oh, we sold out of Game Boys, we sold out. Do you want the one that's on display?
Yeah.
So they went, all right, yeah, we have one on display. So they came out the screwdriver and went, hang on a minute, we noticed something in the back. Yeah. Went around the back, came out with this box that got scratched and torn a bit, and says, we found one fell down the back. So yeah, they found a Game Boy that fell down and they didn't realise it was there.
Did you get it for cheaper at all? Or?
Oh no, we paid the full whack for it. Cause Game Boys then, you know, they were like when Wii's first came out, they sold like hotcakes.
Definitely. I mean, I've got two, Glenn. I've got the normal sized Game Boy, and I tell you what, Glenn, it's really, really chunky. If you play it now, you think, oh gosh, can't believe, you know, you used to think that was portable and pocket size. It wouldn't fit in your pocket at all now, you know. You need to like a rucksack to put that thing in there. And the other thing I find a bit awkward is the screen. It's really hard to see in certain lights, Glenn. I was playing it, and I really need to be in a certain sort of light, and it can't be too dark either, otherwise you can't see what's going on.
Yeah, well, you can buy different add-ons, because I remember when I first got the Game Boy, you had this add-on that you put a backlight on top of it, and a vinyl, like a glass that makes it bigger.
I'll tell you what, Glenn, they were all a big con, because you know what? Again, it just didn't look right, and just it didn't feel right, because you ended up with a handheld that was big enough, you know, in the beginning, and it ended up even bigger and heavier and chunkier.
It does. It does, Andy, because we also had a device that fit in the bottom of the Game Boy to make the speaker louder, and that required, I think a 9-volt battery.
I thought you were going to say it required a car battery.
Something like that, like a, you know, one of those you get in a smoke alarm. Those 9-volt ones. So the Game Boy ended up like almost double the size.
Yeah, it's a great little machine, Glenn. I mean, I'm kind of glad the way it's evolved, because then it had the, what was the next Game Boy? Was it the Game Boy?
It was like a pocket Game Boy that came out, and then it was, I think,
the Game Boy Color.
The Color came out, and then the Game Boy Advance came out, and then it became DS. Then
no, there was another one that there was like the micro
the
Game Boy.
Was the SP came out,
and then the Micro as well. Micro is this really tiny little thing. So yeah, the Game Boy has certainly got an amazing legacy. It's a great little machine, and there's loads and loads of classic games out there that need to be played. So yeah. Why not let us know on the forum and let us know what your favourite Game Boy games are then, guys?
The only thing that failed that had the word Boy from Nintendo was Virtual Boy.
Oh, God. I don't know if we'll ever want to talk about that, Glenn, because that was a big, miserable failure. I think
it
we'll
never actually released over here, if I remembered.
Nah, but we'll save that for another time, Glenn. Right, so let's start rounding this section up.
Hello, this is Potty Boy, and you're listening to the UK's number one retro gaming podcast, The Retro Asylum.
Right, Glenn, so have you got any shout-outs or would like to thank anyone?
Well, I like to thank Potty Boy, I like to thank Malk, Tony, yourself, I like to thank Tony, I like to thank the whole community for listening.
Okay, like me, first of all, I'd like to thank, like yourself, I'd like to thank Swainy, I'd like to thank the Retro Resistance team, I'd like to thank Oddpod, and the reason why I want to thank Oddpod now, because officially, BuzzPop, you know, Daniel, who does the Oddpod show, he's become part of the Retro Asylum team, so he'll be posting news, reviews, or whatever else up there, and he's also a forum moderator. Now, the next person I want to give a shout-out to is Darren from the forum. He's also part of the admin team now, so he'll be helping out on the forum or doing things on the site as well. So well done, Darren. And yeah, I'd like to give a few more shout-outs, Glenn. Please check out gamerdads.co.uk. Please check out Arcade and Retro. Please check out... Oh, there's a few new podcasts, actually, Glenn. Check out maturegamers.co.uk. They're like... they talk about retro gaming and a little bit about modern gaming. Check them out. I think they're on about episode 5 or 6 now. There's another amazing podcast, Glenn. It's called Retrograde, and they're simply superb. They're on episode 2. The first episode was on, what was it again? Mario Karts. The second episode was on Gunstar Hero, and the third episode was on Pokemon great show, Glenn, and I'm sure, you know, if you guys listen to it, you'll enjoy it. So give that a go. Any other announcements in, Glenn?
Well, I'd like to say basically thank you to everybody, and remember Glenn83100's video channel on YouTube.
Yeah, definitely check that out. We still got your videos. We still haven't uploaded on the site because I've been a little bit tied up with that. I will try and sort that out at some point, Glenn. Guys, once again, I'd like to thank everyone for all their iTunes reviews. We've now got over 30 iTunes reviews, which basically means we're the number one retro gaming podcast out there. So, yeah, thank you very much, guys. We still need more iTunes reviews. It just makes us feel really happy. And, yeah, so give us as many reviews, spread the word. And, yeah, I'm just rambling on now. Anyway, I think it's time to say goodbye, Glenn.
Yeah, goodbye, everybody. Take care.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Anyway, before we start, Andy, what's site news? It just says site news here.
No, have you got any site news?
No.
No, right, okay, let me find some site news then.
Yeah.
Bear with me, and I shall find some. Why the hell do I cancel that one? Bear with me. Right, so site news is the new retro gaming shop that's opened up.
What is it called?
If you go to Retro Asylum, you'll find it there. Someone's posted it, and you just follow the link.
Oh, what am I doing? eBay? No. Retro Asylum. There it is. Just loading up the site. New Retro Game Shop. Whereabouts is it? The Retro Assistance. And it goes Retro Base Shop.
Yeah, so if you click onto that, it's in Streatham in London. So if you mention a little bit about the Retro Gaming Shop, and then I'll tell you exactly what it is and where it is, and then I'll ask you a few questions. We haven't really got a lot of site news this time round. The only other thing we have got is the Movie Asylum podcast is coming back next month.
Oh, you and Phil are joining forces?
Again, yeah, we'll mention that in a little bit.
Yeah.
Got any other site news? What other site news is there? Manic Miners on the Xbox 360.
Right.
Hold up. Give me 1 second and I'll find out. I'll give you some site news, Glenn, and I'll text it to you.
Right.
Yeah, I've always got loads of site news.
It's just if we were to start the podcast and go, site news, what is it? Doesn't say in the email.
Well, bear with me, Glenn. It's my son calling me.
All right. You mentioned that to Andrew. He says, you did. He says, oh, which version's the best? I think everyone says the Sinclair Spectrum, but I like the Commodore 64. Oh, what are they? You know, why everybody's making fun of me?
It's just because it's a really, really bad game. Oh, gosh, I'm having a coughing fit. I think it's all
good. Right, Andy. I give you a big pat on your back.
I think my house is smelling of paint fumes. I might have to open up a window, otherwise I'll be dead. Right.
Yeah, I come on the Saturday because it opens on Saturday, isn't it? Saturday morning. Yeah.
And hopefully by then, I should have the Retro Asylum T-shirts. Can I send you this? Bear with me. I wonder if I can send you the Retro Asylum T-shirt. Give me 1 second, Glenn. I've got T-shirts now. How do I send attachments? Can I send attachments? I don't think I can. Oh, well. Yeah, there's Retro Asylum T-shirts now.
Oh, so nice.
This is basically a black T-shirt with the Retro Asylum logo that says Retro Asylum. So
proper T-shirt you put on?
Yeah, just you put a T-shirt on, and that way people know you're from the Retro Asylum. I'm going to have badges. I'm going to have a few other little giveaways that when we're down there, we can just talk to people and pass out cards. Every time we talk to someone, we give them a card that says Retro Asylum, UK's number one retro gaming podcast, Glenn, Andy, Swaney, and whoever else. So, we'll promote it as much as we can. Anyway, buddy, I'm going to have to shoot off because I need to carry on painting.
All right, Andy. Painting the
Thanks again, Glenn.
What colour are you painting the walls?
Like a blue for the bathroom, a grey for downstairs, and I don't know what colour she's decided on this spare room. I'll have a look.
All right. Happy painting, Andy, and take care of yourself.
Right. Wait.
Bye.
Es mala suerte porque es un miedo para mucha gente. Pero yo digo que no es lo peor. Estoy constantemente en un rumbo sin límite. No te paralices con la mala suerte.